All right, welcome to Prime Time. It is 4 p.m., so we're going to go ahead and get started. Before we get started, I've got a link to share, which is something I put together, it was yesterday. This is endeavoring to help out Git and the moderation team on Thursday. Not Thursday, Sunday. Yes, Sunday. I don't know why I said Thursday. But I put this together as a wiki page for you all. There are notes on this page, but... To reiterate them, that page is not part of the guidelines itself. It is generated from interpretations of the guidelines. I have checked it over with moderation, and it seems to be okay, but it's still possible to have guideline breaching activity in any of the sessions featured in that table, but hopefully that will cut down on the amount of times in Sunday where we get, can I have adult content in this session? So maybe that will help, so take a look at that link in thread. I don't know why, but like every single Sunday the moderation team get the same question over and over again, so maybe that would help. Anyway, moving forwards to actual questions, we have a question from Jackal, who says, I've been having a little trouble with objects rotations when trying to parent objects to other objects by drag and dropping an inspector. I know that this is most likely because the order of operations matters, but do you have any advice for practices on this? And on, they've added background as well, which is great to add background information to your questions. That sometimes helps. I'm making a clock as per your tutorial, but messed up the logics and having trouble with the hands that keep rotating in weird ways when I try to put everything together. I'm sure I'll figure it out, but if it's best to assemble parts of an object in a particular order, it would be real help to me. I kind of need more information about what you're seeing. Like, there's like rotations are complicated, basically. Just generally, for general tips on that, is to avoid using Euler angles wherever you can. Like, there is always a non-Euler angle way of doing things, and I am always surprised when people just won't learn, like, the tiniest bit of maths to avoid the Euler angle problem. For those who are unaware, if you use Euler angles too much, when you're dealing with rotations, you'll end up in gimbal lock, and gimbal lock is just very confusing. We don't represent it well inside the inspector, and so you end up with basically not realizing that it's happened. If you ever see axes other than the one that you're editing in the inspector change, that's because we're avoiding gimbal lock by adjusting those. You can't represent the complete possible rotational set of rotations, if that's a phrase that makes sense, but whatever, in Euler angles, it's impossible. Quaternions, how the heck you pronounce that, I still don't know. You are able to represent all rotations in, and it's very simple. A particular note for that one is the axis angle node, which I believe I do cover in the tutorial, which is why I was confused at how you may be struggling, but I'd have to take a look at that in-game to see what's going on there. I'm not entirely certain. Something that also might help is the origins tutorial. I will go ahead and link that in the thread as well. Rotations are origin dependent, and sometimes origins can be problematic, particularly with random 3D models downloaded from Sketchfab, where the developer of the model is like, yes, the origin is inside the moon. Moving forwards to Lou Xanth's question, they are asking, is there a way to change spawn points per player? I won't have myself spawn in my cloud home's bedroom, but other players spawn at the doorway. You should be able to use value user override on those. I'm not certain, though. I will go ahead and open up the code base. That'll take a few minutes, though, so we'll jump back to that one. But you should be able to value user override and turn off, like have the default value for the spawn point to be off. But I don't know if that's the case until I open up the code base. So give me a second and I'll get that open. Just gotta like click like 17 different buttons to get that sorted, because you know, life. Okay, there we go, that's opening. Jackal asks, how is your extended trek across the wasteland to next door going? That's kind of on pause, basically. I'm happy to move over there. What I need to do is wait for the renewal note for this place, and then we'll see what the price of that is. For anyone who doesn't know what I'm going on about, I'm most likely moving locations very soon, so I'm moving like literally one building to the left, so that's going to be fun. Yeah, that's sorted. Okay, next. Actually, there's a note from them. Thank you for the advice about dynamic variables. Yes, dynamic variables are the best. Dynamic variables are literally the best. Beagle says, is there an easy way for people to pull members out of a hidden lair? There have been some instances where people lurk in hidden lairs. Kick them from your world or ban them from your world. Like, I hate to be blunt when it comes to that shit, but like I really just don't have time for it. If they want to hide in hidden layers, they can go elsewhere and not be in my session. Depending on what methodology they're using to create such a system, they will have anti-pulling out systems. So, you know, it's difficult. Of course, if it's not your world, you might be limited to what you can do, which Froppy is updating their response with. But if it's your world, just kick them. Just kick them. Like, the only way that we can challenge behavior like that is by making clear that it is not okay. And that's just not okay. So, cool. Usually what happens with the hidden layer system is it's something of the equivalent of they are parented under a slot which is disabled for a select number of people in the world. I don't care the reason why you're in that. If you're in my world, as in if I'm the host, you're going to be visible and you're not going to be in that. Additionally, you're not going to use one of the annoying systems which goes like, you know, it makes like a like space age like blink noise and like, you know, purple sphere as far as I remember when you go in and out of it. If you're inside my session, you're in there to be in my session. If you want to hide from my session, you can go to another session. That's the easiest way to hide from my session. If that makes you not want to hang out in my session because I don't allow you to use your special hidden layer system, that's absolutely fine. Don't come. Really sorry to be blunt, but like that's the way I see it. I don't have time for that behavior. If you think it's cool, I want you to think about what you're doing. I want you to think long and hard about why you are going to someone else's world to hide in it. Beagle has another question. Let me just make sure I haven't missed any before the video I posted. I have not. Okay. Beagle says, for some reason in one of my buddy's worlds, when translating using the gizmo, every now and then there's a weird cross like you see on the avatar calibration appears, and it'll snap the translation to that. That is native snapping. So here is a... albeit a long video, but here it is. That is native snapping that's occurring. There are a few ways to kind of make that happen less. Something I've noticed is that if you're playing around with gizmos near a picture, the picture will have a snapping component on it, which means that gizmos will snap into the picture. So go into the picture, you'll find, I think, snap plane for a picture. You can remove that component and then it won't snap to those pictures anymore. Various other things have that. Where could that hide in the world? In the same world, it randomly kick people to... that snapping issue shouldn't be causing people being kicked. There might be something that's sort of left in your world. I remember one of the trolliest things I ever did. Oh my god, I'm just arming you with stuff. One of the trolliest things I ever did was accidentally parent a snap grid component to the world origin somehow. Snap grid will set up a grid of points that will do that kind of lock thing that you're talking about. And I just put it accidentally in the middle of the world. It was like, cool, gizmos just don't work in this world. Sorry, my bad. That's pretty easy to fix. And hey, if anyone is listening and decides to take that and start doing it to other people's worlds, it would constitute as harassment and maybe reportable under the moderation guidelines and may cause account restrictions. But there you go. I've sort of told you how to do it and also told you how to mitigate it, which is go look for that SnapGrid component. There is more information in that video above there. Mentalish says that, yes, some people have built systems to fight anti-layer systems. Yes, there is anti-layer systems, then there's anti-anti-layer systems, and then there'll be anti-anti-anti-anti-layer systems, whereas the actual soul for that layer system is a behavioral one, which is why I'm telling you, just kick them. I can't see that player. They must be doing something malicious. Kicked. Thumbs up. Move on with your life. If they get angry about you, cool, ban them. It's just like, you know, I can ban people because I don't like their avatar. Like, if it's my sessions, I don't need a reason to. I've also seen one person that was using, like, the equivalent of a hidden layer system creatively. And I accepted that one because they were doing, like, a bit as a character. But it was still annoying, so keep that in mind. You know, it was sort of, like, RP related, which is, like, totally fine. You can state a reason for kicking, but there's a problem in this community, which is basically like if they break any rule or do any infraction, even if you tell them exactly what they're doing that's wrong, they're not going to listen to you and they're going to make you the problem. It is problematic, and yeah, okay, you should give them a reason, but if they don't listen, proceed with just kicking them. Cody said, I assumed it was possible to manage people or objects that are spawned in by having a spawn point. You can indeed have a spawn point, but the problem is, even if you have a spawn point which sets a parent, they can have They can have a logic or system on their avatar, which goes like, I know you want me to be parented to this very precise anti, you know, like this culling system, this management system, this world organizational system. But I don't care because I'm an inconsiderate person. I want to be parented to the world root or my hidden layer system and make a lot of noise. And then when I open up my context menu, I want it to do the entire Chorestral Halo soundtrack for no apparent reason in global audio at 100% volume. So, you know, it, like I said, the only way to combat this stuff is to just stamp it out. For anyone who thinks I'm being unfair, just imagine going to a real world party, okay? And the party is hosted at Prime's house. And I open the door to my front door and I say, welcome, welcome, come on into the party. You hand me a bottle of wine that you brought, maybe some nice cheese. And I'm like, please take off your shoes. And you go, okay. And you take off your shoes. That's exactly how it should be in someone else's session. You know, and then you don't go into someone else's party at their house. You don't come into my house, you know, and you're like, I'm going to hide in a hidden lair and sit in your sink. No, that's unacceptable. You're not going to sit in my sink. I'll happily get you a chair. I'll happily get you wine and booze or whatever you want to drink. I'll feed you. I'll entertain you. But you're not going to sit in my sink. You know, the party's over. Everyone's left. And I go to bed and I hear like giggling from my cupboard. I open up and it's like, sorry, I was in the hidden layer system inside your cupboard. Get out of my cupboard and leave. Doesn't make any sense. And for anyone that's like, oh, it's, you know, blah, 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 it's like, it's their computer, right? I understand that it'd be different if we had like servers or if it's a headless or if it's not, you know, they're not being hosted. But for the majority of sessions that aren't headless right now, you're literally on someone else's computer. Like the host's computer is controlling your access to that session. So be considerate, please. Moving forward to other questions, so I stopped ranting about that particular topic because I could rant for hours and people won't listen anyway. You'll still have that problem years to come. You know, it'll be like, you know, the year is 2050 and people are still in hidden layer systems. Why? We don't know. So I have a question here from Lex who says, is there any way to make Facet Spawn a desktop not parent to the overlay layer without mods? Not that I'm aware of. Make that font size just a little bit bigger, Froppy, and then you've got an amazing meme. The reason I say the font size a bit bigger is so I can read it without zooming in, but otherwise, amazing meme. So unfortunately, I don't know the answer to your question, Lex. I'd have to take a look. Remember that we don't... This is like a really annoying cop-out, and I understand it's frustrating. We don't technically support facet editing in desktop mode, and I hate that I'm saying that, but like, you know, I guess you could like write some code into the facet, like a little bit of logic that's like detects if the user that spawned it is a desktop user, and then do some reparenting there. That might work. There we go. Beautiful. Beautiful. Speaking of like RP characters like that, I did have one person at one point that had like, I don't know, like an Iron Man style landing. Actually, no, more appropriate one would be, if you know that film Hancock, it's got Will Smith in it. At the start of the film, Will Smith's basically like a drunk superhero, and his landing is like, cool, I'm going to completely wreck the road and the pavement. There'll be a crater every time I land. That was their like character's system for landing. And it was like, I know that you're like a character and you're trying to have fun here, but if you could stop like completely destroying my pavement with like sound effects and particle systems when you land, that would be amazing. Thank you. Like, by the end of the film, he can land without destroying the pavement. So maybe you should watch that film again. Angry Pilot asks, any info on button delegate relay? You shouldn't really need to use that. There's probably ways you can do it, but that usually is covered by like button action trigger or something like that. Let me see why we have that component. Button delegate relay. Let's see if we use that anywhere. We do use that. Set up delegate action. Oh, it's used on audio reverb zone component. We use it to make all the buttons appear for the presets on the reverb. Yeah, it looks like just that. Hold on, there's a couple of other uses. That's the one I wanted there. Symbols about reference. Yeah, that's literally the only place we use that. So in some cases, there are components which you can attach and can technically use, but they have no real use that makes sense. The better question always is to start with the problem, not the solution. So there are a bunch of components which are just like completely nonsensical. In uncategorized, look for up-down controller or something. That's a really funny one. Ask Syra the next time you see him for his up-down platform that uses that silly component. I might have it too. I don't remember if I saved it. Okay, Jackal asks, question for dynamic variables. If I'm setting a variable to reference the user who turned the object on, and when they turned it off, I want to clear the variable, am I doing it correctly by writing basic user node to the variable? It seems to work. The variable comes null. Yeah. A dynamic reference variable of type user with a value of null will be okay. Something you should keep in mind is that some nodes will take in a null user ref and do different behavior. Particularly fire on true and fire on changed, I believe they do custom stuff if you pass in a null rather than empty. I think I have those documented on the wiki because I got tired of talking about fire on true, so I went through and was like, step by step, here's what happened. So I'll see if I can find that. Fire on true, fire. And then someone asked me a question about, just double check that. There doesn't actually appear to be any null handling that I've written there, but it's fine. Sometimes what I'll do as well is I'll create a variable which is called like user set. And that'll be a Boolean, and then that's really easy to pick up. You can do like is user, I'm doing this in like text, but it won't make sense. Like is user set ?:, and then you can use like user or like host user, right? For the parts of that. Now of course you could do is null, not null, etc., but sometimes it's better to do that by like a more declarative way. There is also the has value output of some of the dynamic variable nodes you can use there. A lot of the time, though, you can actually just get away with something along the lines of like, I'm literally typing that. World user ?? Host user is like a lot of times what I use. Although sometimes I'll do like, in the middle there, I'll put like nearest user head sometimes, because then it's like if there's a user set on the object with dynamic variables, or the closest user, or the host user, and then it gets there. Right now, someone had a question which I needed to look up in the code base, so I will scroll up and find that now that the code base has opened up. Spawn points. Spawn points per player. Excellent. Spawn point. Doobly doobly doo. That ain't the spawn point component. No, not the spawn point component. Spawn, let's do simple. Yeah, okay, so the common spawn area, which is the one that usually creates the glowy ring, that will respect the enabled field and the slots active field. So you could use that and do a values override on that for those. Although I don't know if that would work with synchronization, because I don't know if the host spawns there. Try that. Let me know how that works out. The non-spawn area one, so the spawn point rather than the circuity one, that doesn't pay attention to the enabled state, which is problematic. But maybe it does. Give me a moment. Where's the weight? Like, there's a weight property on the spawn point, right? Where's that at? Simple spawn. Simple user spawn. I'm thinking of something else. I'm going to just quickly hop to a video I recorded on a Neos Open. There's another component. I got to look for it. I got to... Mute. Thank you. Okay, good. Whilst I'm looking this up, make sure that you get other doobly-doos questions in. Oh! Now I remember. Thank you, Lex, for the help. The circular one, that is just an edit to the common spawn area component with the spawn point generator. That's correct. Yep, thank you so much for that. That's exactly what I was looking for. Yeah, so common spawn area is the common component between spawn point and spawn. The reason why it's confusing is because the dev tip has got the create new menu. You go create new object, you can go spawn point or spawn area. Spawn area does the sort of glowy ring thing. Spawn point does a static point. So all of those will respond to the enabled and the slot is active field. I do not know if they will allow for values override, but that's how I would at least start doing it. A note there as well is that you can use other point generators in the common spawn area. So I know that you will usually see a circle, but you could also do like a sphere. I don't know why you would, but you could. You could also do a whatever point generators we have. Let me take a look. Find all references. A box, a circle, a sphere, a square, and yeah. Oh, Beagle has a new question, and they say, can you possibly do an entire logic system without using logic nodes at all, complete with the inspector? Oh, you could. I would not suggest doing that. You'd basically be hooking up components by using ribbons that you'd manually created yourself. Jackal asks, is there a way to make a hemisphere using the procedural meshes in the game, or would you need a Blender or some other modeling program to make it? Hemisphere, you'd need a Blender to do it. If you want to do that quickly, and I know this is kind of like a long-winded solve, but you only have to do it once, go find Sloppy McFloppy's Ring of the Neolander, inspect it, and find the templates in there, and you can pull out all the shapes that are in the Ring of the Neolander and use them isolated. They have good UVs and stuff like that, so I sometimes do that. I think I actually exported all the meshes that that uses into like one object and saved it to my inventory a while back. Player Cody asks, there was a mental workshop video of name tags I attempted to follow yesterday where everything was set up the way you want. I wanted. I logged out for the day, came back the next day, found everything was back to default. Is your video more accurate? My video might be more accurate. I would have to watch that video to see what the problem is. Common problems when it comes to name tags is not adding the requisite components to the name tag so that it doesn't know that it exists and it won't be hooked up correctly. There's also people don't save it correctly, so sometimes they save it outside of the avatar root. It needs to be inside the avatar root to work. I've seen a couple of people who make a custom name tag in the user root and then save it, which does not work. And then various other things like that. If you have multiple name tags in your hierarchy as well, it might sort of interfere with each other, so make sure you've got one. My video has the way I recommend doing it, so do keep that in mind. I don't know if it's unique. I haven't watched the workshop. I watched the workshop one when they recorded it, but I haven't watched it in a while. Thing that I do that kind of like reduces the chances that you can make a problem is I drag like the existing, you know, the default name tag into the avatar root, like right at the start. And then I edit it from there. Other people will do like setting up the name tag from scratch, but that means you have to like add all of the components manually, whereas if you just steal an existing one and drag it into the avatar root, then you don't have that problem. Beagle says, where the hell did you get all the meme material and stuff inside of your inventory? I browsed through it the other day, and holy, I presume you mean the meme folder inside my public folder? Okay, yeah. That one needs, like, renaming, because it's not like memes that you would see, like, for example, on 4chan, 9gag, or iFunny, stuff like that. It's not, like, regular memes. It's usually sort of chaotic distractibleness that happens inside of Neos. Of like particular note, there's a coat hanger there that's got dynamic bones on it. That used to be a effortless equipable, but I think that went wrong, but you could just make it one. That happened because a few people that I was hanging out with were using deer avatars, and they had, you know, antlers, and I just thought it'd be funny if I could like hang a coat hanger on their antlers, so I got that happening. All sorts of stuff like that. There's a turtle in there, which has no instructions at all. So I'm amazed if anyone's figured it out. But there's a turtle you can spawn in there, and it's got a straw in its nose. And if you pull that straw out really fast, it plays the Beyblade opening. And that occurred because I was speaking to someone in the world and they were talking about their use of straws. And I said, those better be, you know, metal or paper straws, right? They said, no, plastic. I said, like, you know, they have to like pull those out of turtles. And I did like a quick pulling motion and someone went like a Beyblade. And then I made that. It's like, you know, like environmentalism via memes, that one is. There's also a cutlery box in there where you can grab and pull out cutlery. That was caused by a similar thing where someone was saying like, oh yeah, I need more cutlery. And I said, what did you mean? What do you mean? They use plastic cutlery, and I took offense to that. So I made that to kind of show the inanity of it. The one that I have a real big like problem with is foil. So I know we're going over time, but whatever. If you have a baking tray that is metal and you put foil on it before you put whatever you want to cook in the oven, you're like not human. I don't understand. You're like, oh, I put foil over my metal baking tray so I don't have to clean my baking tray. And it's like, cool. All right. So people have to mine in the ground for a limited resource, which they then have to like smelt and process and alloy, because aluminum's difficult to process. And then they have to roll it incredibly thin onto reels just so you can avoid doing the dishes. What planet are you on? What planet are you on? Just do your dishes. Now, I'll accept if you use foil to, like, for example, cover a chicken or cover a turkey when you're cooking it. That makes more sense. But it's purely if you're using it to avoid cleaning. They dig that stuff out of the ground, and it's a limited supply. We're not going to run out in your lifetime, I know that. But, like, just think about it. It's like, because I can't be bothered to clean a baking tray, I have reduced the level of aluminum in the world by a little bit. All right, moving on to actual questions rather than my strange environmentalism. It's like really weird. It's like, you know, my computer's on all the time, but I won't use plastic. It's crazy. Anyway, Tiki says, is there a way to limit the rotation of fingers in the hand manager? My avatar impales itself its own claws right now. There is not. Currently, there is not. That is a common thing that we have. Cody has an update to their nameplate issues. They spawned a previous avatar, hopped into that one, saved the configuration, world spawn on the recently saved one, hopped into it, and everything was fine. When I saved changes next in ES, everything was fine. When launching ES, I found out the default was activated. Double check the components. That could also be synchronization, and it could be this amazing thing in the inventory where occasionally the order of items in your inventory can just randomly change. And so you may think that you're in the most recent copy of your avatar, but you're actually in a copy from like 3 years ago, because that happened recently. I see lots of people talking about like foiling their baking trays. I'm too lazy to clean it. So you would rather, like, you know, a company mines in the ground to get small rocks, which they have to smelt and roll, just because you're lazy? Like, what planet are you on? You know, in like hundreds of years, we're going to be like out traveling the stars. We're going to be like on Mars, other like solar systems and stuff like that. And they're going to run out of aluminum, and they'll look and they'll be like, it's that guy, the person who didn't just do their dishes. You know, like aliens are looking down on us and they're like, shall we make contact with this like seemingly civilized society? They've got problems, but should we make contact with them? Oh no, they put like foil on them. rather than just cleaning them. Isit says that aluminum is recyclable. Yeah, did you know that lots of recycling is actually just a lie, and like it just goes in landfill anyway? It's crazy. Here, I have a video for you. Actually, you can just like YouTube it, like recycling is a lie, and like you'll see a lot. Yeah, it is plastic, yeah. But the other thing with like metal recycling you have to remember is it's foil. It's gonna get mixed up, and it's gonna not be recycled sometimes. It's thin. You have to get all the grease off of it. So someone ends up cleaning it. Like someone. Either like a very hot like reforging machine or whatever. But you know, it's not just like when someone says like, yeah, it's recyclable, but you have to put more energy in to recycle it. We'll get back to Nia's questions rather than recycling. Anyway. This week, Prime talks about recycling. Actually, one more final bit about recycling. Clean your containers before you recycle them. I have a great memory of being at university once in, you know, university housing, so with like five other people, and I was doing the recycling for them and I was sorting it out, and it was like half a bottle of Coca-Cola is not recyclable. The bottle that it's in, sure, that's recyclable, but you have to empty the cola out of the bottle before you recycle it. If you have cola in the bottle when you recycle it, they won't recycle it because it's dirty. You have to rinse it. The polystyrene like burger boxes that you get from like cheaper burger places, not recyclable. They're equally not recyclable when they have half a burger in them. Like a jar of mayonnaise made out of glass, very recyclable, but not when it's like 1/8 full of mayonnaise that's rotted and is moldy. Like, you know, you like rinse stuff. It got to the point where like I just took like a big glass and I was just emptying everything that people were trying to recycle into this glass. And I got up to a pint of liquid and I said, that liquid should have been in the drain for that to be recyclable. Oh, you should also remove the labels from things. Like, you should remove the labels from glass jars, bottles, containers, jars, etc. You have to remove the labels as well, because the label is paper and needs to be recycled separately. I'm going back to questions now. I promise. No more recycling. Beagle says, where can we find your MMC thing that you showed me? You already really jammed out to the fart reverb remix. Yeah, that's better. That should be in the meme folder. I need to do a video on it, but it should be in the meme folder. Moving downwards. Peach Clover says, do you know what, if any, model import format preserves origins of the object? I think this is an unlisted video where I got angry at someone because they wouldn't listen when I was talking about origins. Yes. I haven't found a single 3D model format that I can input or output and keep the translations for. It's really bugging me. I think I made an issue about it. Okay, moving forwards. I'm double checking I haven't missed any. Okay, here we go. Okay, we got the import format. No, I'm not aware of. I want to fix that one. That one really annoys me. I did the finger one. There's no way that I know of with the fingers. Cody says, I was poking around with experiment with different forms of lighting in Neo Studio. The semi video series on lighting, is that a good source of search? Yeah, that's probably a little bit old. I haven't really done much on it. I also haven't done much on sort of optimizing lighting. One of the things I will say about lighting is if you are doing an inside map, as in it is not outside, delete the main directional light in your world and light it purely with actual light sources. I see so many sort of like social worlds where they're like inside a building and they still have the sun, and it doesn't make any sense. Like if you're making, let's say, like a bar, that's inside. There's no way to go outside. So there's no outside. There's no back door or anything like that. There's no front door or anything like that. It should not have a sun in it because the sun should not be lighting it. I mean, if there's windows, yeah, sure, but like it shouldn't, because there's no way to sort of restrict the sun's influence. It means that the sun will just like beam in on everything and ignore any sort of collision. And so it's like, oh yeah, we want to make like a, you know, like a CD bar where maybe like, you know, you got the tip to solve the murder mystery in your game world and you've got a sun in there. It just doesn't work. Beagle says, how does one prevent light from bleeding into floors above and below? You usually have to sort of surround the things with primitives. Like if it's custom meshes, it will usually leak more light. But if it's primitives, you can usually sort of block the light a bit better with primitives. That's usually what I see happen. We do need better lighting tools, most notably, of course, light baking, but also some tweaks to things called light probe, stuff like that, which is on the graphic side of things. That needs to happen at some point. Zalasar, I think that's how I pronounce that, says, I've heard a good learning experience is to make your own multi-tool tip. Where would I start if I wanted to do this? I don't have a tutorial on that because I don't like multi-tool tips. I don't want to go into another like 4-hour rant about recycling and stuff like that. So I will just leave it there. Like, I don't like multi-tools. I don't suggest you make one. If you want to use a learning experience, try making a game where you are a broccoli trying to outrun a green cat that chases you through the swamp, and you'll learn a lot more than if you make a multi-tool. There may be tutorials out there, but I'm not aware of. If anyone has any, please feel free to link them. Like when you come into Neos and new people are like, how do I learn Neos? It usually goes like, let's make a custom inspector, let's make a custom multi-tool. And it's like, no, let's make something that touches other people. You know what I mean? Not literally. That touches other people with my creativity. Let them show them your creativity and learn by doing that. And that usually isn't a multi-tool or a custom inspector. Like, look at the MMC entries that we had this year that are in the sort of world social, world other, world game category, where they're trying to tell you a story. They're trying to tell you some art through their creation. Like the car wash, for example. That car wash map makes very little sense, but is fun. And people that worked on that probably learned a few things. And there wasn't, like, there was a lot of creativity in that world, but there wasn't a lot of technical complexity. Like, everything was sort of, there was a pin pad for a door. I've got a tutorial on that one. There was like an interactive screen for the car wash. I don't have tutorials on that one, but it's quite simple. I don't want to demean it by saying, you know, it's not worthy of the praise it's getting. It is. It's just like nothing in that world was very complicated. It was very, very well put together, but the technical aspects weren't very complicated, which isn't a bad thing. And that's what I mean, Beagle. I'm not saying the creativity was low. The creativity was incredibly high, but the technical skills needed to make that world were lower than, say, making a multi-turtle or making a custom inspector or making Redprint or making any of the other tools that people use. It was like a very good way of doing things. Beagle has one final question. We'll close off questions there because we're at 16:46. For some reason, my Deagle mounted beast of different and decent inspector size. For some reason, my Nardo's inspector is tiny and it resizes the dev tooltip smaller. That's usually caused by the tool anchor scale. So try that one. Try the tool anchor scale. Let me just head on over to the dev tip code as well. Dev tooltip. There it is. Open inspector. Yeah, we don't really have any scale logic in the create inspector thing. Make sure it's the tool anchor, not the, like, nothing underneath, because that all gets generated. I can have a look the next time, which I don't know. I'm doing a bunch of stuff. And with that, okay, we'll answer one more final question from Ice, and that last question. No more questions, even about recycling. Is there some convenient way to give things colliders that are the same precise shape as the object model? You need to watch... if you would like to. I don't want any like audio around. You can take a look at optimizing colliders. Here we go. And we'll go ahead and leave off there. In the meantime, between now and next time, I want you to think about what you're throwing away and how you can reduce, reuse, and recycle it. See you next time.